Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We drove up to Ohio and had a phenomenal time with some family up there. Not so much the car ride. Anybody else agreed with that? Like the car ride, not so great, but the actual Thanksgiving dinner was amazing. And then we watched football a lot yesterday, and it was great. Like we loved it, surprised at how well my Buckeyes played. We were just amazing. It was just a glorious moment in my house. And all y'all haters, you were just hoping that the Buckeyes were going to lose. It didn't happen. And so as I was thinking about the Buckeyes, I was reminiscent about my senior season playing football. I remember my last game against Michigan. You have all these former players. They make this tunnel, and then you run out in front of them and give your coach a five. I was married at the time, so my wife was down there. It was an amazing moment. And then I was thinking about the first time that I ran onto the field. We went down this tunnel. Our locker room was kind of up high, and then so we walked down this tunnel, kind of over us was this tunnel, and then we get down to the end, and all the seniors locked arms right at the front, and the strength trainer is like there, like holding people back, like we're a bunch of wild animals getting ready to be released. And so we're there, and we're so excited. And then my coach was Coach Trestle, and so he would run out, and he would let us go, and we would all just rush through the band. Now, you know, Tennessee, there's hope because next year is going to be incredible. But you also can always cheer for your band. Amen to that. Like, y'all have a great band. Like, we can just settle that. Like, we got some cheers for that. I love that. That's the state of Tennessee football. Anyhow, we're I do love you guys a lot. But anyhow, so we're running out of the tunnel. And what's interesting is as you're running out and the band is lined up, what you actually hear is every different type of instrument playing when you run by them. It's really interesting. You think it all, you're in the crowd, it all sounds, but when you're that close and you're running through, you hear the trumpets, the trombones, the tubas, the drum. You actually hear each one separately, and it's like you're running on air because you got 105,000 people just screaming, and you got so much adrenaline and testosterone running. And then my favorite was I was on kickoff, and so I was one of those just crazy dudes. I was in between two linebackers, and I was a receiver, so they just said, go kill somebody, but love them like Jesus, right? And so I would get out there, and I would be there before the field, and I'm jumping around, and we're hitting each other, and then we finally get up, and then the stadium, all we hear is O-H-I-O, going around, O-H-I-O. And it does take 105,000 people to spell Ohio sometimes. And so... And then the kickoff would go, and I would just be so excited, and I would run down so fast, and I would just hit somebody, and just Jesus joy like came out of me. Like, I loved it. Now, what am I doing? I'm sharing an experience with you, right? I'm saying this is the experience that I had, and I'm trying to put into words what it is. And if you've been to a good restaurant, and you're like, man, that restaurant was so good. Like that steak, I could cut it with a butter knife, and those side dishes were incredible. And my server was so just kind and warm, and the ambiance was just really just peaceful and chill and romantic. You would explain something you've experienced with somebody else in the hopes that probably they would want to experience that same thing, right? That they would be drawn in. So as I was thinking about all this, and I was thinking about our last week in this risk series, today I want to tackle something that I think is really scary for most of us in this room. If we're just brutally honest today, we're really scared of that. And this is the risk that I want to talk about today: sharing our faith. And the message title you can see in your notes is shared experience, right? Now, here's what I know. There's a lot of different backgrounds in this room, and you're like, man, sharing my faith, like that's the last thing I want to do, or with sharing my faith, I feel so much pressure, I got to do something right. And so my hope is today to look at a couple stories in the scriptures. So what's it look like for us to share what we've experienced? Like I've already shared with you a little bit about what I experienced playing football. I shared that. What would it look like for us to share with other people what we have experienced with God? And I want to debunk some myths that I believe we have bought into, that the enemy has been speaking into those that follow Jesus. So what I want to do today, I want to look at John, the book of John. So if you have it, go ahead and open up. We're going to be in John chapter 1 to start out. John chapter 1, we see Jesus is walking the earth, and He's teaching. He's also inviting some people to follow him, some disciples. So we pick up in John chapter 1, verse 43. And it says, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. Everybody say, found Philip. Okay. Who found Philip? Jesus, right? Let this encourage all of us. That sometimes we put to words like, I found God. We're trying to put to words, but the reality is God found you before you ever found him. I need you to hear that. Like, this should encourage all of us that God is pursuing all of us in this room, but he's also pursuing everyone that we interact with outside of this room, that God is actually finding us before we ever find him. A lot of the time, all our job is to be aware of that and to say yes. Like, literally. So we see Jesus, he finds Philip, which I love that. I've got the underline in my mind. He found Philip. And this is the simple thing Jesus said. He said, follow me. And now Philip was in Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And then Philip found Nathanael. Everybody say, found Nathanael. So Philip was found by Jesus. Then Philip, I'm going to get so confused in my words here. Then Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So what does he do? He's sharing what he's experienced. Jesus found him. He said, follow him. Now Philip is following. So he's telling his friend Nathanael all that he had experienced with Jesus. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? That's kind of a quippy little response. Like Nazareth, like you've heard about Nazareth. Like what good is going to come out of that part of town, right? And then it goes on, and Philip said to him, come and see. If you have your Bible, right, underline that. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. Come and see. Come and see. This is how Philip shared his faith. He shared what he experienced, and then he just simply said, come and see for yourself, right? And then it said, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered, before Philip called you, when you were under that fig tree, I saw you. Now, a couple things that I want to see is that, real simple, the strategy of Philip to introduce people to Jesus, to share his faith, was to share what he experienced personally, and then to say, hey, come and see for yourself, right? Now, what I love about this and where the pressure is taken off is that Jesus tells Nathanael, I saw you before Philip ever talked to you, right? That should take a huge sigh of relief, everyone in this room. Like some of you probably have seen some pressure cookers, or maybe you have an Instant Pot, like those are the cool, like throwback instant cookers, right? There's a pop-off valve when those hit pressure and releases. I'm telling you, Jesus is the pressure releaser. Pressure is off of all of us. There's no more pressure. Jesus says, I saw you before Philip ever even invited you. And this should encourage all of us that Jesus is inviting and working in the lives of all of those in your family. He's already at work. He's pursuing, he's wooing all those at your workplace that you see. The men and women that you see serving lunch, the men and women you see in the grocery stores, the men and women you see in your friend circles, all of them right now are being pursued by Jesus, and that takes the pressure off of you. Whew. Come and see. This is Nathanael. This is how he encountered Jesus. Philip said, come and see. And I love this passage. And then we go over just one page. Go to John chapter 4, flip over one page. John chapter 4, we find another encounter where somebody invites somebody else and shares their faith. Now in this story, Jesus travels right through an area of the country or the region where most Jews would not have gone. This is Samaria. Most Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. It was against so many in the day kind of laws, but also cleanliness and all these things. And so Jesus, though, he goes right through the middle of Samaria, which I love that about Jesus. And he goes and he gets a little thirsty, so he finds a drinking fountain, or it's called a well in that day, and there's a lady there, and he begins to have a conversation with this lady at the well. And she is a Samaritan woman. He begins to have a conversation with her and tells her about this water. If she drank it, she'd never thirst again. And then He says something interesting. He says, hey, go and tell your husband what you've just heard. And she said, actually, sir, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the man that you're living with now is not your husband. Now, what was Jesus doing there? He was giving a word of knowledge. This is what he did. Given by the Spirit, he knew something about her that nobody else there, that Jesus would not have known. It's a word of knowledge. The Spirit gives to us, and he shares this. He says, the man who you're with is not your husband. And so immediately this woman's like, okay, this is not just some dude. This guy knows something about me. There's something special about this guy. And so then she asked him a really tough question, is where should I worship? My people say worship here. Your people, the Jews, say worship over here. And then they get in this conversation. Jesus says the famous, listen, the true people are gonna worship in truth and spirit, right? And then we get into an interesting part of this passage. If you have your Bible, look at verse 25. It's also gonna be on the screen here. So they're having this dialogue back and forth. And then the woman said to Jesus, she says, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. See, some people want to say that Jesus never declared that he was God, but right here, this is about as clear as a picture as you can see, that Jesus says, that one that you're looking for, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior, you're talking to him right here, right here. And then it goes on in the disciples, it says they came back and they marveled that Jesus was talking to a woman. Don't they sound like a bunch of fifth graders? Like, oh, he's talking to a woman, cooties, right? But we got to remember that a man did not talk to a woman, but Jesus talked to a woman. And all the women said amen to that, that Jesus was pro-female. Any amens to that, ladies? Like, don't you love that? That the Savior, this man who came to show us the way, he engaged with women when nobody else would. He changed the culture of engaging and lifting up the identity of a woman. I love this about Jesus. He was so pro-female. And he's talking to him, and they're saying to themselves, maybe we should ask, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? It's a great question. Why are you talking to a woman, man? You got all of us, like our bros. So why are you doing that? And so they didn't ask this, though. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, now look at your Bible if you haven't. Look at what it says. Come see. Remember what Philip said? Come and see. She runs to the town and she says, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and were coming to him. What was her model for sharing her faith? She shared what she had experienced with Jesus. And then she said, I want you to experience it for yourself. Come and see, right? Come and see. Now, we skip down a little bit further in verse 39. It says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. Do you see the power of your testimony? Your encounter with God, when you share that with somebody, there is so much power. And this woman, when she shared her experience with Jesus to these others, it changed the entire town. Literally, a move of God began because this woman encountered Jesus and then shared what she had experienced, right? It says that many became followers of Jesus and on account of her testimony, which was that he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Now, if we can just keep this up there for a second, this is really important for us to see. This is the intent of you ever sharing your experience with God. It's not about you. Can we all say amen to that? It's never been about you when we share our faith. But what happens here is this woman shares her faith. They believe because of her testimony, but her testimony, her experience with God when she shared it, it actually leads them to seek God for themselves. And the end game is that they actually experience God the way that she did personally. This is the purpose of our sharing, so that others don't just live off of our testimony, but they have their own testimony of encountering Jesus. It's the beauty of it. The beauty of this picture. Now, with this said, we've seen two stories now where people have shared their faith in maybe ways that maybe don't necessarily resonate with you. Because if you're like me, you know, I've been raised in, I'm kind of a mutt when it comes to Christianity. I've been in lots of different denominations, if you know what I mean. And so sometimes we grow up in places that are like, there's so much pressure. You got to share your faith. You got to go out. You got to share your faith. You got to walk them through the Roman road. You got to do it. That's the only way to share Jesus. You got to give them the four spiritual laws. You got to close the deal. If you don't close the deal, you did something wrong. And there's so much pressure. But I want to put before you today is what we're talking about is just a normal way of life. I've encountered Jesus. I'm experiencing Jesus. And all I'm doing is actually sharing what I'm experiencing. But I think there are some myths that we have bought into that keep us from actually sharing our faith. I've got four today that I would love for you to write down. The number one myth I think that we believe is that I don't share my faith because I don't know enough about the Bible. Anybody else, if you're honest, would say that that's one of the reasons why maybe you don't share your faith. Anybody else ever, I've said this, by the way, I don't know enough about the Bible, and so how can I go share my faith? Well, let me ask you, these two people, Philip to Nathanael and this Samaritan woman to her community, did either one of them break down the Old Testament for these people to hear about God? Did she give a reference to scripture on any one of these encounters that she shared? No. Now, I want you to hear me. I love the scriptures. I love the word of God. It's what is our plumb line. It is the way, the guide. It shows us something. But here's what I want to tell you is that many times when people experience Jesus for the first time, it's through your life and not through the actual words that are on these pages. And so I want to take a little pressure off that when we talk about sharing our faith, you don't have to walk through John 3:16 and Romans 1, 2, 3 and get to 12 where it's all better. You don't have to do that when you're sharing your faith. What I'm talking about today is just sharing what you've experienced with God. How have you encountered God? That's what we should be sharing with people on a daily basis, right? It's nothing to do with you knowing everything about the Bible, because here's the thing, you don't know everything about the Bible. Now there's a time and place, right? That we need to break down the scriptures and walk people through it for sure. But I'm talking about just simple living our life with other people. What's it look like to share our faith? The number two myth that I see is that I don't have it all worked out in my own life. This keeps us so timid in our faith, right? And here's the challenging point about this. And once again, I think most of us have had this feeling before. But here's the reality is if we wait to get everything right in our life, we will never share our faith because we'll never have everything right in our own life. Somebody say amen to that. Like we believe that, right? Like there's no way that you're gonna have every part of your life completely figured out and aligned with Jesus. That's what this process is called, sanctification that we're on, the Spirit's work in our life, but you will never arrive until you see your Creator face to face and are made full and whole in reality, not just spiritually, right? And so we are all works in progress. And so to say, I've got some areas of my life that I got to clean up before I talk about God, man, I'm going to tell you, that's going to keep you from ever sharing your faith. And why do I say that? Because this one experience, this woman at the well, when she encountered Jesus, she said, listen, Jesus, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right, you have five. Now, I don't know why she had five husbands. Really bad luck? I don't know. You know, we don't know. Did they all die? We really don't know. Maybe they all died. But we can surmise that because she's at the well in the middle of the day by herself, she was probably operating with fear, guilt, and shame. She was probably an outcast from the community. So likely there was something in her past in those five relationships that were not necessarily righteous, right? And the fact that she now had a man that she was living with that was not her husband, she would have been operating in a ton of shame and guilt in this society, right? And so it's from this place, though, that Jesus encounters her, and it says immediately she leaves that encounter and she goes and tells the man that she can't live with him anymore. It actually doesn't say that. It says this woman who's living with this other man encounters Jesus, and she immediately goes and shares her faith with the community, right? Still with some things in her life that she needs to get lined out, no question, but she shares her faith. And I want to put before you today that it is not going to be a day where you get everything figured out. That should not keep you from sharing how you're experiencing God. Now, let me just say this as a side note, that I believe that Jesus was a man who walked in holiness. as we follow Jesus, we continue to align more and more with Jesus. And so we should pursue holiness for sure. We want to follow and align ourselves, but we can't say, I've got this little area in my life, stop us from actually sharing what we're experiencing from the Lord. The third myth that I believe we buy into is that I don't have a good testimony. Have you ever heard of that one before? Like, my story is not good enough. I don't have a prodigal son story where I ran off and did drugs and got in prison and killed somebody and did something bad with somebody and then covered it up and then went to prison. Not all of us have that story. Some of us do, and that's fine. Paul had a great testimony of encountering Jesus on the road, and he shared that several times for the glory of God, but not all of us do. Now, what I want to put before you is that all of us, though, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have experienced God in some way. Remember, you were dead, and Jesus didn't make you better. He made you alive. He took your fear, your guilt, and your shame, and he nailed it to the cross, and he swallowed it up to make you free. And also, when I say we don't have a good enough testimony, what we're oftentimes thinking about is our salvation moment that I got to share. But I want to tell you, I think there's time and place to share when I came to faith in Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, I think we oftentimes should just be sharing what we're experiencing on an ongoing basis with God, right? All of us can do this, regardless of what your story is. How did you experience God? Have you ever had peace in the midst of a really hard storm of life? Have you ever had a relationship that was going really bad, but God restored it? Have you ever heard of somebody being prayed for and they're physically healed? Listen, I'm telling you, God is doing so much around us. Our job as followers of Jesus is to share what he's doing and to invite people to experience it for themselves. The fourth thing that I don't have up on the slide here is that we don't share our faith because we don't want to offend anybody, right? This is super PC, like we don't want to offend somebody, like we don't want to step on toes. And I just want to, this is kindly as I can as your pastor, to tell you that as we follow Jesus, we got to remember that he was put on a cross and killed because he offended some people. And so for us to think that we can follow Jesus and never offend anybody, I don't think it's realistic. But here's what I want to challenge you, is when we share our faith, we got to recognize sometimes people will be offended at the truth of Jesus, but sometimes what I know about Christians particularly is sometimes they're not offended at Jesus, they're offended at the person sharing their faith. Big difference. We got to make sure that people are offended at Jesus and not our arrogance, if you know what I'm saying, right? Big difference. Big difference. Because I'm going to tell you, what earns you a right to be at the table to share truth is the way that you love people. When you love people well at your workplace, when you honor people, when you walk in integrity, you don't gossip, when you choose to take the narrow path, you earn an opportunity to have influence in people's lives. And it's there that you can share what you've experienced with God, right? Now, these are the myths, these four myths that I think, and there's plenty of others, but I think the things that we need, if we're gonna operate and live this out and take some kingdom risk to share our faith, there's three things that I would love for you to write down real quick. Number one is we gotta have an awareness. Awareness of what has God done in my past. We need to think about, like, give thanks for what has God done. Where has he brought you from? What prayer has he answered recently? We gotta be aware of God, what he has done, but also what he's doing in the moment. Then we gotta be available. God, I want you to use me. I want to share what I've experienced with you, with somebody today. I want to just show somebody your love and your forgiveness today. I want to be available. And the third thing is we got to actually step out and take a risk, right? If we're going to follow Jesus in this way, this is what it looks like. Now, here's the reality is that I can stand up here all day and give you stories and tell you things. And here's the reality is you'll look at me and say, Derek, you're a pastor. You know, that's good for you. But like, I just have a normal job and I'm a teacher or I'm an engineer or I own my own company. So how do I do this? What does it look like? And so here's what I'd like to do to end today is I've invited my friend Brian. Brian, come on out here, man. Brian, to share just his own personal testimony of how this looks in his life. So can you guys give a hand for Brian real quick? Yeah. This guy, I love this guy. So Brian, tell us just a little bit about your background, family dynamics.
Okay. I was born and raised in Bristol, Virginia, so I'm a Tri-City native. I'm married to my wife, Amanda. Hey, honey. And we have three kids. We have a 4-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and a 1-year-old. So our life's pretty hectic right now.
Tell us real quick how you guys met, where you met. It's an
interesting story. We actually met in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, yeah.
So I felt like God wanted me to go back a second time as a contractor over there. And luckily I met my wife and some other people that were God-fearing and loving and just poured into my life during that period. And I think that's what God wanted in my life at that time. So it was pretty awesome.
Love it. So what do you do, man? Are you like a undercover pastor, like seminary professor? Like what do you do?
I'm an engineer at Eastman Chemical Company. And I've been there roughly about 6 years now.
6 year engineer. Okay. So you're not paid to be up here?
No.
Okay. And you've never been to seminary?
No.
Okay. Good. Good. There's hope. There's hope. So tell us a little bit. So you've experienced some of these kingdom risks that we've been talking about in this series of hearing from God and then stepping out to in obedience. What does that look like for a person that's going about their normal day-to-day routine? Well, give us a couple examples.
So normally, well, here recently, this past week, at work, God laid on my heart this guy that I work with. And I was just praying and asking God, what do you want me to do? And what do you want me to know? And I felt like every time I felt like I was going to make a move, I'd stand up in my cubicle and I felt like Satan was whacking me like that whack-a-mole game. Sit back down. But finally, I just asked for God for a word of knowledge about this guy. And I saw three visions and I just sat down and asked that dude. I was like, hey, man, this is crazy. And God's leading me to come talk to you. And he's put you on my heart. And I just wanted to share God's love for you. And I told him about the three words of knowledge that I received. Hmm. And one of them really hit home with him. And he had an alcoholic father when he was growing up. So that was relatable for me because I did too. So we just started talking about our past life and our childhood. And then I just brought up how God's brought me out of that hole that I was in of feeling not worthy enough and not good enough to experience anybody's love, a father's love or anybody's love. But God poured that love into me about 6 years ago. And my life has been transforming ever since. Mm. And it's been an amazing journey.
Yeah, so that was a little risk, right? You said
yes.
You were a little. So let me just get clear so we all can relate. So you felt like you heard from the Lord. You got up and you're like, nope, not for me. And you sat back down?
Yes.
Okay, you know, I'm not the only one. Okay, that's good. That's good. But you pressed through.
Yes.
And you saw God work. Like, so he took us, like when we're talking about these kingdom risks, sometimes it's hypothetical, like super practical what this looks like. But let me ask you this question. What did that look like for you to know to actually go and talk to this guy? What does that look like for you?
So normally I try to get up in the morning and read the Bible and just meditate on his word and what it means to me that day. And then just listen and ask God, what do you want me to know about today? And then I'll just sit around and listen and just see what I can hear. Sometimes I sense something. Sometimes a word will just pop into my mind. One time Derek's name popped in my mind and I asked God, what do you want me to know about that? And he said, honor him. And so I just called Derek that later that day and just told him that I appreciate his leadership that he's bringing to this church and that this transformation that he's bringing about in our church. And if you've ever had a rough relationship with a father, it's hard to have a relationship with another man. So that took a lot for me to even step out. Mm. But I think it also blessed Derek at the
same
time.
For sure, man. So in the mornings, do you like write down anything? Like what's it look like just generally? Real practical, what's that look like?
I have a journal that I keep. I've actually have three or four for the past 5 years that I've written in. And I can just kind of go back and see my progression of where my walk with God has been over the past 6 years.
Yeah, so you just write down what you're sensing and what you're seeing. And
yes.
Love it. So here's what I would like to do as we get close to the end of the service. I would love to have Brian pray over some people in this room. So specifically today, if you're like, man, I want to be more bold in my faith. Like, I don't want it just to be a 60-minute deal that I do on Sunday. Like, I want to just exude Jesus. I want to see his kingdom come in powerful ways in my life. If you want more boldness today, but also if you're like, man, I want to hear more from the Lord. Like, I believe he speaks, but I don't know what that looks like. If you're saying that today and you're like, man, I just want to know that God's leading me. I want to hear him. I want to see him. Like Brian shared a little bit today. If that's you, either one of those things, I'm going to invite you just to pop to your feet to take a stand. And I'm just going to ask Brian to pray over you. And so if that's you, if you're like, man, I want to be more bold in my faith, or I want to hear from the Lord just clear, I just want you to pop up to your feet. And I'm just going to ask Brian to pray over you and that boldness would be there, that the Spirit would fill you, that you would take kingdom risks to hear God and to step out in faith like Brian shared so beautifully. And so if that's you, Brian's going to pray for you right now.
All right. Father God, I'm just grateful for your love, the kindness that you bestow upon each and every one of us that brings us to you, Lord. You're always in pursuit of us, but you just give us nudges to actually go and be the hands and feet that you want us to be in people's lives. And I pray, God, that these people that are standing, Lord, and everyone here, that they would just respond to the calling that you're having on their heart and their spirit, Lord. You are within us, every one of us, and your spirit is within us. And you just want to reach out to other people and love on them as you loved us. But it first starts with us, Lord, and I just pray, God, that we would understand how much you love us and how awesome it is to be in love with you. And I just thank you for that love, Lord. And I pray that we would just press forward. When you bring light into darkness, there's going to be resistance, but we're on the offensive, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would just help us. And we trust that you're going to meet us on the other side, Lord. And I just pray this blessing over everybody here, Lord, that you would just give them the confidence and boldness to step forward into what you would have them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Can we give it up for Brian for sharing this morning? Thank you so much, brother. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing one last song here. And as we get ready to sing this last song, I just want you to hear just a prayer that I have consistently for our church and a hope that I have. It comes from Psalm 66. Psalm 66 says, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name." Now listen, come and see. There it is again. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of man. This is what I pray is the testimony that comes out of Christ Fellowship. Not come and see a pastor, not come and see an amazing band, but come and see what God has done and experience what God is doing. That's what I pray over our church. That's what I pray over your life. And I pray that you would just allow that to just even just meditate on that as we sing this last song and get a little rowdy in Jesus' name.